This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Yehiyas Wuhib in Washington. Here's what's coming up on Africa News Tonight.
First of all, thank you for giving me this opportunity to explain the current situation in Israel. And when the Hamas organization attacked Israel, that was on Saturday.
That's Dr. Tsaga Fantahun Malaku from Ethiopia's Bet Israel group, who is a member of the Knesset, Israel's legislature, talking about the Hamas attack. Details coming up. Also, a rocket that hit a hospital compound in Gaza City has killed hundreds. And President Biden's meeting in Jordan with Egyptian and Arab officials has been canceled. These stories and more on Africa News Tonight.
People of Gaza need food, water, medicine, shelter. Today I asked the Israeli cabinet, who I met with for some time this morning, to agree to the delivery of life-saving humanitarian assistance to civilians in Gaza, based on the understanding that there will be inspections and that the aid should go to civilians, not to Hamas. Israel agreed the humanitarian assistance can begin to move from Egypt to Gaza. But let me be clear. If Hamas diverts or steals the assistance, they will have demonstrated once again that they have no concern for the welfare of the Palestinian people. And it will end. As a practical matter, it will stop the international community from being able to provide this aid.
That was U.S. President Biden today in Tel Aviv. Biden arrived in Israel today in a region gripped by violence, including an explosion at the Gaza City Hospital. We have Patsy Wida Kuswara, VOA's White House bureau chief, on the line. She closely is following Biden's trip to Israel. Welcome, Patsy, to Africa News Tonight.
My pleasure to be with you.
So Biden's historic arrival in wartime Tel Aviv Wednesday, the first trip to Israel by an American president during a time of war, seems to be a forceful public show of support for Israel.
Oh, absolutely. During his remarks and also in his meetings with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, President Biden vowed that he will provide whatever it is that Israeli needs to defend itself, including these ammunitions for the Iron Dome. These are these highly advanced technology that protects Israel from incoming rockets. President Biden also mentioned, as you also just stated, that based on the information that he has seen, it appears that the result of the Gaza hospital explosion was a result of an errant rocket fired by a terrorist group in Gaza. Israel has said that it is the Palestinian Jihad group that is responsible. Palestinian Jihad has denied responsibility. They and Hamas and many others in the region is accusing that Israel is behind it. But it does seem that President Biden is saying that the blame lies not with Israel. So that's a really big key development from his visit to Israel, to Tel Aviv today. He just left a couple of hours ago to return back to Washington.
So the president has been attempting to walk a fine line between supporting Israel and keeping the violence from spiraling into a wider military conflict, a mission made more complicated by the hospital blast you just talked about. What else did the president discuss with Netanyahu?
Well, I think one key thing that I'd like to underline here is that even though President Biden vowed to provide Israel what it needs to defend itself, he also urged restraint in its retaliation. President Biden said that Israel is a democracy, just like the United States, and you don't live by the rules of terrorists. He said you live by the rule of law. When conflict is fair, you have to live by the rule of wars. And, of course, this is in reference to the siege that Israel is imposing on Gaza since Hamas attacked it on October 7th. The siege means that there is no water, no electricity, no fuel, no kind of humanitarian aid that can go into Gaza. And this has been seen by many, including the heads of the European Council, as akin to a violation to international laws. Now, as you mentioned earlier, Israel, according to President Biden, has agreed that aid should begin moving from Israel into Gaza. we have not seen yet whether that aid has been entering into Gaza properly. We'll see in the next couple of hours or days.
So, Patsy, is the ground attack on hold now?
Yeah, so it seems like, the White House has not said whether that was a precondition for President Biden's visit. But so far, we haven't seen any ground invasion, although we have seen that Israel has been preparing for it for days. Just to remind everybody again, the casualties are mounting on both sides. The October 7th attack to Israel by Hamas has taken 1,400 Israeli lives, while so far the Israeli airstrikes and siege on Gaza has taken 3,000 Palestinian lives in Gaza.
And the U.S. administration has been warning other regional players, namely Iran and its proxy Hezbollah, from expanding the fighting further. Is the message going through?
Well, that's certainly the message that he is stating very clearly, President Biden. And that message is really strengthened by the presence of two U.S. Carrier strike ships and other military assets that have been deployed to the region. So there's more than 2,000 additional Marines and sailors that have been deployed to the region as a show of force. And essentially, to underline the president's message, if anybody wants to muddy the waters and expand the conflict, whether horizontally or vertically, don't. That is his message. And so far, we've seen Iran, we've seen skirmishes and clashes on the border with Lebanon. We've seen some movement from Hezbollah, but we haven't seen any kind of huge escalation so far. But certainly this is something that the White House continues to monitor.
And lastly, Patsy, the president was expected to fly to Amman to meet King Abdullah II of Jordan, President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi of Egypt, and Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas to discuss a humanitarian response. But the summit was scrapped. What happened?
Yeah, so the summit was scrapped just hours before President Biden was due to leave, but they decided that he was going to continue with the trip anyway, just to Tel Aviv. And the reason why it was scrapped was because of the explosion. Palestinian Authority leader Mahmoud Abbas had to return to Ramallah because there was a three-day mourning period.
Are you talking about the hospital's explosion?
Yes, because of the explosion in the Ahli Arab Hospital in Gaza.
Okay.
So the Palestinian Authority president had to return to Ramallah for the three-day mourning. Egypt and Jordan also decided that this was not the time to discuss this. So certainly that explosion has scuttled the plans for President Biden to talk to these regional leaders. As you know, Egypt as well as Jordan are two bordering neighboring countries to Israel. And, of course, with the Palestinian Authority, there's certainly a need to discuss the way forward. But all of those plans have been scuttled because of the explosion. But the White House says that the president will continue to have conversation with these leaders.
Patsy Widra-Kasuara, VOA White House Bureau Chief, actually monitoring Biden's trip to Israel. Thank you for your input.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Dr. Tzaga Fantahun Malaku, former director of Israeli radio Rashat Aleph station, is a member of the Moshe Kalhon's Kulanu party. The 47-year-old was born in Ethiopia and now lives in Jerusalem. She is the seventh Ethiopian Bet Israel member to join the Knesset, Israel's legislature. Malaku holds a BA in political science and sociology from Bar-Ilan University and an MA in business from Touro College. I first asked her where she was when Hamas first attacked.
First of all, thank you for giving me this opportunity to explain the current situation in Israel. And when the Hamas organization attacked Israel, that was on a Saturday. And in our religion, Saturday is the holy day. And I was at home. That was early in the morning. I was in my bed. And that was in the very bad news. When I heard an alarm, this alarm or siren, we knew that something had happened. And after a few minutes, I heard a missile attack. And, even we knew that it's not the first time. But, every time when you heard this siren or alarm, we are afraid. were referring, especially I have two sons. One of them, he's in an army.
Anybody that you know died or was injured in the attack?
Yeah, you know, first of all, this terrorist attack was in the south part of Israel. And a lot of people as killed and wounded. Even Ethiopian Jews died. Most of them, they are serving in the army. And also the women, they are living in that area, they killed. It is a very bad situation. And this brutally killed innocent people. That was in the morning, early in the morning, on Saturday. The people were at home in the bed. They killed everyone, babies, young, old people. Also, they kidnapped a lot of Israelis. Even they kidnapped 9-month-old baby, 25 and 85-year-old grandma. And this is very complicated, very bad situation. And even I have one of my family members is killed by Hamas.
So as we are talking right now, we had to disconnect for about 2 or 3 times because of the sirens, because there's still attacks going on.
Yes, and during the day, every hour they attack us, and you know, when they attack us before that, in 1 minute or before a half minute, and the siren we heard, and everybody we have to go to shelter. That's in our life now. Today, yesterday and today is very intensive. They attack us.
Where does the attack come from?
That comes from in Gaza, because the Hamas organization, the base is in Gaza. They attack us from Gaza.
How do things look like from the Israeli government's point of view?
You know, because the Hamas organization killed over 1,300 people and wounded over 3,500 and also over 200 kidnapped. The solution is destroy the Hamas terrorist organization from Gaza. That is the Israeli government's decision, because, you know, this organization became strong, and that's very dangerous to Israel. Even now, you know, a lot of people killed and innocent people. That's very, very sad. And this organization is very dangerous, not only for Israel.
What about civilian casualties in Gaza?
Israel, she don't want to attack civilians. As Israelis, have a right to defend ourselves. We don't want to attack anybody, even the civilians in Gaza. The Israeli government gives electricity and the water for Gaza. Hamas, the leader, he don't mind about his people. And instead of that, they attack us. But Israel, he don't want to attack civilian Palestinians.
That was Dr. Tsaga Fantahun Malaku, an Ethiopian native who now lives in Jerusalem and is a member of the Knesset, Israel's legislature, speaking with me from Jerusalem. A Palestinian man who left his home in northern Gaza to head south in compliance with Israel's evacuation orders says thousands of people are staying inside overcrowded Gaza schools in the south of the enclave with little food, water or sanitation facilities. Yasir Abu Jameh tells VOA's Carol Van Dam he had no choice but to leave because his neighborhood was being bombed.
I had to leave my house in a safer place. It's still in the eastern side of Khanim, but a little bit safer than where my home is located. Fortunately, we continue to hear the bombardment. There were a lot of places that were, a lot of areas that were destroyed in the last 24 hours. In different areas of Khan Yunis city, you know, the Gaza Strip is a very small geographical area with hundreds of thousands of people fleeing from the north and from Gaza. Few days ago now, I guess there are something like 1 million people who are located in this small geographical area.
Are you actually seeing the people coming south where you are, and where do they go when they get into that part of the strip?
Well, what happens is that most of the people come and try to find a suitable place. And when it comes to suitable place, there is actually no suitable place. A suitable place, a place where you can simply sleep. People are directed to go to what's called shelters, and the shelter is just a school, you know. It's one of the UNRWA schools that were assigned as shelter. And because there were a lot of people who were already displaced from the eastern side of Khan Yunis who moved to the school. So on average, there were something like 2,000 people per school before the people from the northern areas and from the Gaza cities start moving to the south. So I think now the UNRWA, I think, says that there are more than 400,000 people who are located in the schools. And I think the local authorities here say that, or even UNRWA, I think they estimate about 1 million people to be already displaced during the last 1 week or so. So they try to move into the schools, but the schools are already overcrowded. They are just schools that are built in order to equip, let me say, children during the day. That's what they have. They sleep on the classes. They sleep on the ground. Sleep on the mattresses if they have any. And that's what they have. They have enough blankets.
Do they have food and water?
Yeah. The main two problems that they have is one is problem with water and food supply. Again, it's a small geographical area with now almost a triple the original population of the area. You know, there are lots of problems. There is a big problem with bread, providing bread for the people. Bakeries almost work day and night. Now, the other issue, which is a very important one, is the health hazard. You know, when you have so many crowded areas, so many crowded buildings, and you don't really have good sanitary means, you know, when you have 3,000 or 4,000 people who go to the school and they use just 4 or 5 toilets, you know, you can imagine how things are. You can imagine when you have 20, 30, or 50 people sleeping in the same room, which is originally a class, you know. We had a lot of cases of gastrointestinal problems, diarrhea, scabies, and something like that, you know. And let's keep in mind that half of the population of Gaza Strip are children, you know. So if we speak about 3,500 to 4,000 people per school, we speak about at least 1,700 children.
As you know, the Israeli authorities told people to go south, which is in the vicinity where you're describing. Are you hearing bombs still drop in around the area, or is it pretty quiet?
Well, Carol, you know, just a couple of hours ago, one 3-story building was destroyed, which is less than 5 minutes walking from the place I'm staying. In the heart of Khan Yunis city, where they tell people you need to go to the heart of the city, the center of the city, bombs they fall every day and during the night.
That's Gaza resident Yasir Abu Jameh. He was speaking today with my colleague Carol Van Dam from southern Gaza. Ignatius Anor is international multimedia journalist at the Voice of America, and right now, currently, he is on Capitol Hill covering an event being spearheaded by an NGO known as Jewish Voices for Peace. Welcome to Africa News Tonight, Ignatius.
Hiya, thank you for having me.
So first, briefly describe the NGO Jewish Voices for Peace.
So Jewish Voices for Peace is a U.S.-based non-governmental organization. They have been supporting U.S. Jews for decades now, and they are joined by another local-based organization known as If Not Now. This afternoon, they're currently stationed just right in front of the U.S. Capitol, where, you know, lawmakers are having their session. And their message is very simple, Yahya. They have a huge banner written, a ceasefire, and they are calling for immediate ceasefire between Hamas and the Israeli state as we speak. I'm privileged to be joined by two of their supporters here, one coming all the way from the U.S. state of Philadelphia and the other coming from the south of Virginia. Let me go to Sahar first of all. Thank you for joining us on African News Tonight. Make us understand why you decided to sacrifice your day to be here at the U.S. Capitol, just at the National Mall.
It's a very simple reason. I mean, violence doesn't solve anything. And I can't sit at home while children are being killed and civilians are dying. I think this escalation is just crazy. And I think we need to get back to moderate voices coming forward and talking peace. I mean, have we ever seen war and bombing solve anything? I mean, we've gone through 2 world wars. We've gone through major, wars around the world. never solved through wars. It's always through peace and moderate voices coming forward.
Seher, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And also coming from the U.S. state of Philadelphia, yes, as I told you, is Adam Rostin. Adam, what do you want lawmakers to do? You are standing wide on your soil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so in the immediate present, lawmakers can call for a ceasefire to allow for humanitarian aid to enter Gaza. There's a resolution right now introduced by 13 Democratic congresspeople, and that's something that can be taken up today.
And as we speak, the U.S. President Joe Biden is in Israel, had a conferment with the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, strongly supporting Israel from the U.S. government. What are your thoughts, especially when he said that it doesn't look like the attack that happened on the Gaza Strip, Israel should be blamed for by the other side?
Right. So in general, I don't think that U.S. support of Israel should be unconditional. I mean, my tax dollars pay for these funding and weapons that that Israel is using right now. So Israeli support should be conditional on Israel respecting human rights, and that doesn't change today.
Thank you, Adam. All right, Yahya. So right now, the event is almost about starting. There are a few hundred people on the National Mall as I speak to you. They are holding various placards. And if I look up, I see end the siege on Gaza. On the other side, I see someone holding saying, U.S. Jews say ceasefire in Gaza now. So that's the scene here in Washington, Yahya.
Ignatius Anor, our international multimedia journalist, currently on Capitol Hill covering an event being spearheaded by an NGO known as Jewish Voices for Peace. You listen. You're listening to Africa News Tonight on The Voice of America. Chinese President Xi Jinping has criticized Western efforts to reduce developing countries' dependence on the Chinese economy, warning of unilateral sanctions, economic coercion, decoupling, and supply chain disruption. Xi's message came today during a two-day Belt and Road Forum in Beijing that was being attended by 1,000 people, including representatives of over 130 countries. Russian President Vladimir Putin was among them. Xi lauded his grand plan, the Belt and Road Initiative, BRI, that was launched 10 years ago, building global infrastructure and energy networks connecting Asia with Africa and Europe through overland and maritime routes, saying blueprints turned into real projects. $97.2 billion worth of cooperation projects were signed at the summit. And with that, we wrap up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Yehiyas Wuhib in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. On behalf of our producer, Mokbili Abaro, and our engineer, David Greenberg, thanks for choosing The Voice of America.
Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station.